that's a wrap. Frederick, man, thanks again for being here. I had a, I did have one question for you before you go. Have you heard of this guy named John Gorey? There's a little bit of a rumor that you tried to slow down his development of his ice machine.
John Gorey? Ain't he that doctor from Apalachicola thinking he could whip up ice with the contraption? Nah, didn't bother with the guy. I had my empire rolling solid as a rock, kid.
Gotcha. I was just curious. Thanks again, Frederick. Hey folks, it's Robert, and welcome back to The Outfall, where we share the unique stories about our water world and infrastructure. Today, we're wrapping up slightly in an over-the-top series on the history of ice. Thanks for listening along. In the previous episode, we explored how Frederick Tudor built and expanded his lucrative natural ice empire. Frederick, aka the Ice King, passed away in 1864, but the business of shipping ice all over the world kept going strong. By 1879, the U.S. was harvesting a whopping 8 million tons of ice every year. Today, we're going to unravel how this ice trade vanished. And spoiler alert, the South was at the epicenter of it all. From a spark of an idea in one man's mind to something we don't even think about twice today. So get comfy, because we're about to take a wild ride through history. In 1833, a tenacious young doctor named John Gorey arrived in Apalachicola, Florida. Apalachicola was this small, bustling port town at the mouth of the Apalachicola River. Assuming the role of the town physician, the 31-year-old Charleston transplant quickly immersed himself in everything, all civic affairs, even becoming mayor. But John Gorey was passionate. He was passionate about easing the patient's suffering from the oppressive heat and rampant diseases like yellow fever and malaria that plagued Apalachicola and other southern towns each summer. He fashioned a primitive cooling room in his home, suspending buckets of ice water to relieve his patients. However, this was kind of just this temporary fix, since he couldn't always get his hands on ice. Far from accepting defeat, Gorey became obsessed with producing ice mechanically. He abandoned his medical practice, devoting endless days and sleepless nights to cracking artificial ice making. After years of trial and error, heartbreak, and hope, Gorey unveiled his astonishing breakthrough in the 1840s, the world's first ice-making machine. And guess what, folks? We stumbled upon some dusty, never-before-heard audio gold.
Yes?
Dr. Gorey, I came as fast as possible when you said you'd made a breakthrough.
Come in, come in. I've created something extraordinary that will change the world. Feast your eyes on my contraption of pipes and valves. Let me fire it up with this hand crank. Sorry for the noise. She's still got some kinks. Now, let me explain. This is a compressor that squeezes the air. Got the idea from some thermodynamics class I barely passed a year ago. Surprised I still remember anything.
Compressed air makes things cold? Witchcraft.
Here's the trick. The compressed air gets hot, but I pipe it through these coils and let the air expand, which cools the water in that pan. Would you look at that? See how the rapidly expanding air is starting to freeze the water.
Great Galileo's ghost, are you making ice from hot air? This defies all reason.
Let me explain better. The hot compressed air flows through these coils surrounded by water, losing its warmth. As the air cools, it extracts heat from the water, cooling it down. And amazingly, it cools enough to turn the water into ice.
Eureka, John. You're gonna make a fortune.
Invent a machine in the hot South to make ice? You'd think you'd be rich, right? But having a brilliant idea and then marketing it successfully are two different skills. Though a pioneer, Gorey faced crazy skepticism. When Gorey patented his revolutionary ice machine in 1851, publications dismissed it. Scientific American stated, quote, "We do not know of any feasible plan for producing ice artificially," end quote. People mocked him. One person from New York was quoted as saying, "There is a crank down in Apalachicola, Florida, a Dr. John Gorey who claims he can make ice as good as God Almighty." He died in 1855, deeply in debt. Yet his core concept, using compressed gas to generate cooling, became the basis for modern refrigeration. Gorey paved the way, but it would take others to convince the world that artificial ice was the future. Meanwhile, the natural ice trade continued thriving. However, by 1860, a Frenchman patented an efficient ammonia-based system, building on the same concept of John Gorey's machine, that while not immediately disruptive, marked a turning point. Unlike air, ammonia liquefies at a much higher temperature, allowing more heat to be absorbed as it evaporates and cools. This made ammonia far more effective at lowering temperatures for artificial ice production. Artificial ice was becoming a viable commercial reality. So the dawn of artificial ice culminated in New Orleans, home of the world's first industrial ice plant, the Louisiana Ice Manufacturing Company. This was founded in 1865 and harnessed this ammonia-based refrigeration. This plant began large-scale commercial production, delivering artificial ice across New Orleans. Let's take a quick visit to the plant. I still can't believe we found this audio.
Well, howdy, Mr. Hall. Feast your eyes on this, our cold cavern. Our modern-day winter wonderland.
A pleasure indeed, Mr. Caldwell. I'm looking forward to this tour.
Appreciate it, sir. Now, if y'all had asked me about a half a year back, reckon I had said we were closer to melting than freezing. Money was trickling away like water and faith was running thin. Yes, sir. But after some midnight oil burning and relentless tinkering, behold, our icy enterprise is humming and thrumming.
Pray, elucidate upon this gargantuan machinery before us with its labyrinth network of pipes.
This process doesn't have a beginning or end. It's a cycle. The cycle starts with ammonia gas being absorbed into a water solution. Right here is the heart of our operation. It's our pride and joy, the Grand Refrigeration System. We open that big red valve yonder that allows the gas to flow into that network of pipes that fill the interior of this large tank called the refrigerator, finding room for expansion. The ammonia gas rushes into the pipes and absorbs heat from the salt water surrounding the pipes. It rapidly reduces the temperature of the brine below the freezing point. Suddenly, cooled brine absorbs heat from those shallow pans of fresh water suspended in the refrigerator, and the fresh water is converted into blocks of solid ice, white gold.
Gas expands. It's drawing heat out of the surroundings, causing the water to freeze, correct?
As sharp as a whip you are, Mr. Hall, and our refrigerant, the mighty ammonia, does the heavy lifting and carrying away of the heat efficiently.
Amazing.
But that, you see, is only half the process. And this is where we have to spend the most time. The next step is to recover the gaseous ammonia. And here, sir, is the final act. Watch our boys harvesting these hefty blocks, each 100 pounds of crystalline perfection. Months ago, we could only muster puny 20-pounders with a faint whiff of ammonia. Now, no more of that. No, sir.
It's indeed a marvel to behold. Pray, how much ice can this establishment yield in a day?
We're churning out 18 tons daily. Before our icy venture, folks in the city coughed up $20 a ton. Now it's slashed to 10.
What happens when more manufacturers throw their hat into the ring, further lowering prices?
Worry? Not a whit. As ice gets cheaper, the demand for it swells. Homes, hotels, watering holes, all clamoring for this frozen treasure. And the seafood traders, they can't seem to get enough.
My sincere thanks for your hospitality, Mr. Caldwell.
This pioneering plant in New Orleans signaled the beginning of the end for the natural ice trade. No longer an extravagance for the wealthy, ice was now just an industrial product. Within decades, artificial refrigeration transformed ice from this luxury imported by a ship to a commonplace commodity produced locally year-round. The age of harvested natural ice was fading. Urban pollution soon began contaminating natural supplies like New York's Hudson River, causing health scares. Brewers were actually one of the first to abandon natural harvesting for artificial plants. Technology advanced dramatically in the late 1800s, and by the 1920s, there were close to 5,000 ice plants, producing 30 million tons of ice yearly. The ripples of artificial refrigeration's impact spread far and wide. For example, hospitals integrated commercial ice houses in the humid South to preserve medicines and cool wards. The struggling seafood industry was revolutionized as ice enabled long-distance shipping of fresh catches. Even entertainment venues benefited. This is kind of interesting. I didn't realize this. So do you know where the term blockbuster came from? Well, theaters strategically placed ice blocks to chill audiences, allowing enjoyment of performances despite the heat. So the term blockbuster was coined as lines circled theaters to see hit shows cooled by, you guessed it, manufactured ice. Pioneers like John Gorey truly changed the world with their ingenuity and persistence. Oh, and if you find yourself in Apalachicola, Florida, pay a visit to the John Gorey Museum State Park. This little tiny gem offers insights into Gorey's life and work. You can actually see a replica of his ice machine up close. Big shout out to all the voice actors that helped us and tried to make these lines sound good. So big thank you. And thank you for listening and having a little fun with us. This is a subject that I don't know why. I just started reading these books this summer and felt like, oh my gosh, I didn't know anything about this history. And felt like I just wanted to share some of this with you. So if you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe. Leave a review. It really helps us find new listeners and helps keep this sometimes offbeat stories coming. Just hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app. My podcast app of choice these days seems to be Spotify. It seems like I'm listening to more and more podcasts on Spotify. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back. We've got some great interviews coming up. Stay curious.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. Gorey's cool dream in the heat. New Orleans. Ice, heat, beer, flowed. Ice retreated. What a feat. History's beat can't be beat.
Word.
Well, howdy there, mister. Whoa, Nelly. These darn floors are slicker than a greased pig at a county fair. Ha, 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 ha.